What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet, presented by Off the Glass. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, for all 30 of these NBA previews is Corey Waldron. How are we doing, Corey?
29. I missed one, unfortunately.
We did have some good guests to replace you on that one, but, you know, obviously you were missed. I got your takes in for you, though. I got the prediction, so you kind of summed
up. I listened to the pod. It was a very good episode. I'm glad Nick, I don't know his last name, but we were able to have two Nicks on the show.
Yeah, Nick Squared on that episode. So that was a Nets pod. That was probably one of my favorite ones. No bias, you know. But like I said, you know, really happy to get this series done with you, Corey. You know, this is our second year doing it. This is our third or fourth year doing it at OTG. And I want to just give a big shout out to all the guests that we had on. Probably the best year in terms of guests. I think we've had better guests on for the last 2 months than we did the entire time of the NBA Outlet. So a big shout out for everybody that took the time to record and deal with all the nonsense that we put them through. So really appreciate that. Also a big shout out to everybody who's listened, giving us reviews on iTunes and whatnot. And the preview series does take a lot of work, but when you get people liking things and, you know, showing love on Twitter and whatnot, we really do appreciate it.
Yes, and shout out to Janoy, who said I am the most unlikable person on the internet. I love that kind of feedback. I appreciate it. I really do, actually. I'm serious.
But we also, I forgot to mention this to you, somebody went and defended you on YouTube after you said you're the most unlikable. So you should appreciate that person and do not know their username by memorization. But check that out. As always, you know, yeah, you got some love on there, Corey.
It's all love.
You can check out all the previews, all the previous shows. You know, during the season, we're going to be doing this, you know, twice a week minimum. And then when it comes postseason, it felt like what, Corey? We were recording almost every single day. So be sure to check that out. iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. You can follow us on Twitter at OTGBasketball. You can follow Corey on Twitter at KWaldHoops. You can follow me at OTG_Nick. But that's enough of the plugs. And before we get started about talking to the Warriors for next season, we're going to look back at last year.
I mean, what more do I have to say besides the fact that they are the NBA champions yet again? Three times in 4 years. They make quick work of the Cavs in the finals. I mean, game one was kind of close. I mean, game one was LeBron 50 points and, of course, the J.R. Smith blunder. But besides that, it was a cakewalk for the Warriors. And, you know, probably the most interest they had all year was that Western Conference Finals against the Rockets where they had to go to game seven.
Yeah, and like you said, Corey, another championship 3 and 4 years, easily could be 4 and 4 years, 58 and 24. They dealt with injuries during the season, you know, not really a ton going on with the finals. But like you said, the Western Conference Finals was really entertaining. You know, the Rockets, maybe if Chris Paul was healthy, they win that game. And we're talking about a different scenario and Golden State needs to bounce back. But they took care of business in game six and game seven. Did you feel like the Warriors weren't necessarily prepared for the punch the Rockets were going to throw at them?
I just don't think the Warriors were as engaged all season. I feel like they kind of just, they were in cruise control all year. And when they first got against the Rockets, they were kind of hitting the mouth. They just weren't playing up to par. And obviously the back end of that series, once Chris Paul went down too, they kind of found a groove. But this team just needed something to kind of kickstart them.
Yeah, it felt like they just like weren't necessarily like ready for that type of competition. They thought Houston was good, but not as good as they really were. And I think Houston kind of built some confidence up from early in that series. So that was pretty interesting. At least we got that. And like you said, the finals, like there wasn't anything going on. There was no doubt going to that series, especially the way Cleveland played in the Eastern Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference playoffs, that Golden State weren't really going to scrape them up. But on a positive note, you know, what was the biggest highlight of last season for Golden State other than the championship, obviously?
I mean, it would probably be just the fact that it's always fun seeing a team with Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. I mean, this is one of the greatest teams of all time. It's a historic team. And, you know, Kevin Durant, again, last year, he made a good point this offseason. He really is a fantastic defender, and he does get somewhat overlooked when it comes to defense. And really in Golden State, he's a big part of that defense. So I guess for me, it'd be kind of just Kevin Durant. He's kind of low-key at this point on the Warriors.
Yeah, it's the sense where Kevin Durant, now he's on the Warriors and they're such a great team where people aren't necessarily respecting his game as much. Because I think if he was probably still in OKC and they were having a lot of success, there'd be more conversations about LeBron versus KD, where I think it's a small fraction of, you know, NBA Twitter, NBA fans that really think KD's better than LeBron, where I think if he was in another scenario, you might be able to kind of sell that more. But for me, highlight of last season, I think it was buying the Jordan Bell pick. from the Bulls. They're getting him in the second round, and he really looks like he can be a nice piece for them moving forward. A lot of versatility, a lot of energy to that team. So I thought Jordan Bell really popped last year. But biggest disappointment of last season, if there's any.
I mean, is there really a disappointment? Maybe McCall missing time, but that might have been a bit that might have been a kind of a big disappointment. He was a pretty big rotational piece at one point in time, but I mean, you know, you won the title.
There's not really much to complain about. I would say maybe not playing your best basketball in the Western Conference Finals, even though they won. Like we mentioned, if Chris Paul's healthy, maybe they don't win that series. So maybe just being a little bit more consistent and ready for what's thrown at you, especially because the competition isn't up to your level on a regular standard. So kind of being prepared when maybe another super team does come along. But talking about this year's ranking, not really much to say. Golden State's number one. I think if you asked almost any NBA fan, except maybe some people in Boston, Golden State's going to be the best team in the league.
Nick, how do you handle someone who says the Warriors aren't the best team in the league?
You tell them to go watch the tape. I really don't know. I think like there's a small argument for someone to make. You know, maybe Boston could beat them in a 7-game series if they were to catch some of the luck that maybe Houston did, catch them a little bit off guard. But for me, I think Golden State is like clear cut. Having two of the top five players in the league, and you know, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry recently in the OGG top 50 players created by you and Jack Manuel, I think that's pretty much a lock that you're going to be the best team in the league. And then obviously you got Draymond, you got Clay in the top 50. So just so much talent in that team. And I think one thing that really gets underrated with the Warriors is Steve Kerr's a really good coach, and the assistant coaches as well. I like to always shout that out. Not only is the head coach great, but all the staff is great as well. So I think that kind of takes them to another level that people don't really discuss.
Yeah, actually, like you mentioned, Durant, Curry, Thompson, Green, they were all top 20 on that OTG list. So obviously there's a ton of talent. Steve Kerr is fantastic.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you know, talking about this year's additions, they did add DeMarcus Cousins. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But any other thoughts on this year's ranking? Like, is there any possibility? I mean, there is a possibility going to the playoffs that they might not be number one, but I think most people are still going to pick them to win the championship. You know, during the season, I guess the argument could be made that they won't play as the best team in the league. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think you could also make the case that this could be the greatest season we see of all time.
Yeah, true.
I think it could be a one that's, you know, highlighted for the fact that they could be on a whole different level. Because realistically, when Cousins comes back, you can almost take nights off. Like, you don't have to have every, you know, star playing, you know, a full game hard if you have some of these guys going off on, you know, against like the Kings in those lower matchups. So, I mean, we could be seeing a team that maybe they break their own record. I mean, I don't think that's what they're going for, obviously. But I wouldn't be blown away if they went on a crazy run this year.
Yeah, I think it's a real possibility. Like you said, having the players they have, they could almost take games off where they're like, all right, KD, you know, and this kind of happened last year, not on purpose, but they had injuries and they let guys sit out an extra week or two to get 100%. You know, KD missed time, Green missed time, Curry missed time, Clay missed time. So I think that's even more of a luxury now when you have a player like DeMarcus Cousins, but obviously they're going to ease him back in. Talking about the draft, though, they did have a first-round pick, Jacob Evans, 28th overall, you know, a 3-and-D prospect, not super athletic, but he can provide some defense and he can hit the three ball. Doesn't really do much offensively. Any thoughts on Evans?
I think he fits what they're looking for, right? They like the fact that they can have another guy who can shoot. And, you know, he averaged 13 points per game his senior year, shot 37% from three. I mean, I don't think he's going to play much, but if anything happens, you know, they got a next guy up.
Yeah, he can be a good, you know, role player maybe down the road or something along those lines. Not a bad move at all. Obviously, they've had some really nice success drafting lately. But talking free agent signings, talking to Marcus Cousins, you know, obviously he signed to that 1 year, $5 million change. You know, nobody really offered him a big contract. So he's like, you know what, screw everyone. I'm going to sign with Golden State. You know, we did a whole pod right after the signing. But what were your quick thoughts on DeMarcus signing with Golden State?
I mean, it changes everything. It makes this team, and we used the reference back then because it was relevant, but it's like Thanos from Avengers.
Yeah,
they just got another stone, and they are now this godly team. They're an all-star team. It's ridiculous. I do think it kind of is bad for basketball to a sense because we know who's kind of going to win. I think we can all agree that unless something goes wrong, this team should win. If they don't, then like whoever beats them, like wow. That's it. But I mean, for Cousins, you're going to win. And that's what a lot of people want to do.
It's a really good way for Cousins to work on his game and get back to 100%. I think it was the best possible situation for him because there's almost no pressure. Like if he comes back and he's not amazing, it's fine because they have four other all-stars that can take care of business. And if he is good, now look at him. He's working in a championship level team. They're winning a championship. He's fitting into the system. He's getting along with these players. I think it'll do a lot for his rep and it'll kind of ease him back into getting into that all-star level, which is a big question mark considering coming off a torn Achilles at the size he is. You know, it's not like he's guaranteed to be back to be an all-star center. I don't want, you know, knock on wood. You know, I hope he does get 100% healthy, but the probability of that happening aren't very high when you're that size and you have Achilles and that type of skill set he has. So it's going to be really interesting to see what type of level we see from DeMarcus Cousins this year. What do you think we'll see from him?
Well, in this, as I was saying, in the same sense, you know, he may come back and may only be at 85%, but we may not even realize because of what his role may be.
Yeah,
you know, he could end up getting paid big money off the fact that he's playing a little bit, you know, smaller minutes, but he's with so much talent that he looks even better. So that's something else to keep in mind. I mean, this year, I think once he gets back, I think we're going to see what I just said. I think we're going to see him probably at 85%, but it's not going to look like a bad, you know, we're not going to really tell because his role is going to be, what, the third option offensively or the fourth option? I mean, he's not going to be tasked to do a lot. Obviously, he's going to have his nights, but I don't think we're going to be I think it's going to be hard to gauge him in this system.
Yeah, because he won't have the same opportunities that he had in other teams where he was kind of running the show a little bit offensively, like running, creating from up top, dribbling and driving and dishing it out. It's going to be more of the dirty work we'll see from Cousins, which we've never necessarily seen from him in the roles he was in. So it'll be really interesting to see how he fits and gels with that team. And the one other thing that'll be interesting is, like, does he close with this team? Obviously, they're known for going small with Draymond. So Cousins not being out there in the fourth quarter will be interesting. But on a positive side of it, it's like there really is no way to not be attacked by Golden State. You know, they have guys like Steph. They have KD. They have Klay. They can attack in the perimeter anyway, drive to the rim. Now they have one of the best low post scorers. They have somebody who can really work guys inside with his strength and size, has a nice touch, can pass the ball too. So I think like having Cousins just really makes them, like you said, like a Thanos, where they have the Infinity Stones, they just added another one, now they're good to go. But well, enough about – oh, okay, go ahead.
I just want to say what it does is too for the fact is they can match up against anybody. Oh, yeah. You have Rudy Gobert? Okay, Cousins, you're playing the whole game. Okay, you guys are going to go small? All right, we're going with the death lineup. They're just so versatile. I mean, they can do – they can put out so many different lineups to go at teams. Like you said, they can tag you so many different ways. It's incredible.
Do you think there's any possibility where Cousins doesn't work out and he causes some drama on Golden State?
I would be hard-pressed. Winning cures a lot of things and hides a lot of things. I think they're going to be on those, like, you know, the first-year butterflies. Everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be great. They're going to be winning, so I don't think you're going to see any of that. If they stay together longer, you know, maybe, but I don't think this first year they will.
Yeah, and like having the strong core already there with, you know, Steph, Klay, and Green have been playing together for a long time, obviously KD for 2 years. So I think it would be harder for him to really cause some riffraff. They also picked up Jonas Jerebko, who was waived by the Jazz, you know, a one-year veteran minimum deal. Another nice role player to that team. What are your thoughts about adding Jerebko?
He's solid. I mean, I remember watching him a lot when he played in Boston a couple of years ago. You know, he's a nice face-up four. He can hit the long ball. He's good. He's a nice offensive piece. He'll fit right in, especially with some of the looks he'll get. He might be a pretty good role player for them.
And he's a good guy to have, like we were talking about before, getting some guys some rest. You play Jerebko. It's not like he's not a, you know, solid role player in this league. So I think adding him, you know, just adding more talent to an already talented team. Departure-wise, you know, obviously JaVale McGee.
Nick Wait, do you Young. Want to talk about they just got Tyler Ulis too, I believe, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about some of the smaller guys, but I'm not really, like, huge on the Tyler Ulis signing. I'm not even sure he's going to definitely make the team. What are your thoughts on him?
I mean, I think it's – I hope he does. I don't know. I think he has some nice moments in Phoenix. I don't think he makes the team either, but
if I'm not mistaken, he may be on a two-way contract. I know Evan Montella wrote an article about him and why he thinks that he could really have some success in Golden State, but – you know, it's yet to be seen. And if you get cut by the Suns and obviously they have no point guards, then you're a little bit concerned about like where he's going to be at.
True. Fair point.
So, but I'm like you said, I hope that, you know, the best for all these guys. They did sign a couple minor free agents on like training camp and two-way deals. So keep an eye on those guys. But, you know, the cream of the crop really is already there. And then they pick up a guy like Cousins, who we just mentioned. Yeah. But talking departures, you know, JaVale McGee, Nick Young, David West, Zaza Pachulia. What are your thoughts on the departures? You know, who do you wish they think they could have kept that they, you know, that they wanted to keep?
I mean, I mean, I think you're gonna miss all these guys for the same kind of reason. They're all vets. A lot of these guys kind of bring that composure to the locker room. Obviously, Zaza for them was kind of an enforcer. I mean, he might have caused more harm than good. No, I'm just kidding. They loved him.
Spurs don't, but
yeah. David
if
West.
If an injury doesn't happen, then we don't even know what happens in the whole Spurs situation. Maybe Kawhi's still there.
That it's amazing how the ramifications of someone landing on your foot. But David West, I think you missed the vet in him as well. Nick Young, I don't think they missed Nick Young. You can find another Nick Young. And that's probably it.
I think they could, you know, miss McGee a slight amount just because he's a different type of player that they didn't have. Obviously, add Cousins, so that's a replacement. But he does provide some rim protection and some vertical spacing with the ability to kind of go above the rim. Obviously, they're hoping Jordan Bell kind of picks up in that role. But McGee does have some really nice size. Not that I think it's going to matter down, you know, in the big picture. But I think keeping McGee might have been nice.
I think you miss McGee, especially this first portion of the season before Cousins comes back. Yeah. That's probably where you really miss McGee.
Now, talking about somebody who's still a free agent for them, he's technically a restricted free agent. That's Pat McCaw. He didn't sign the qualifying offer. You know, the word is that he's looking for an opportunity to play, and he doesn't feel like that's going to be in Golden State. What do you think is going to happen with this situation? Is he going to sign elsewhere, and they're not going to match the offer sheet, or he's going to sign elsewhere, and then Golden State's going to match regardless?
I think you mentioned this off the pod to me because I wasn't fully aware of this situation. I think if a Jimmy Butler deal does happen and there's some pieces moving and somebody has a roster spot, Pat McCaw will probably get a phone call, and that's probably where we'll see some movement. I know that's probably what he's hoping for. Otherwise, I have a feeling he's probably going to end up back in Golden State. There's just not a market out there. I mean, Rodney Hood sat out there for how long? He's to me a better player than McCaw.
Yeah, he's more established. I think McCaw has some nice potential to him, but the injury last year really screwed him up. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Wish him the best. Maybe he'll end up somewhere else. Maybe he'll be back in Golden State. But if I was betting money, I think he'll be back with Golden State. Talking starters on opening night, who you got? Obviously, Cousins won't be there. So, obviously, I think Curry, Clay, and KD and Green, we don't really have to discuss. Who do you think starting at center?
I mean, I think they're going to go with Jordan Bell. I think they'll probably go with small lineup with Draymond at the five.
Yeah, I was thinking either Jordan Bell. I would not be completely surprised if they started Looney because they wanted to keep Bell with that second lineup. And also Looney's a little bit more defensive minded and like more of a little bit of a bigger player. But Jordan Bell, I think, is a good choice. And obviously he looks like he's added to his game. I know he had a really nice summer league too. So any other position? There's not really any position battles to discuss other than center.
No, I was about to say, I was wondering how you were going to come at this segment.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously the center position. It'll be interesting to see when Cousins is back, how he's worked into the starting lineup, because I don't think you're going to just be like, all right, Cousins, you're going to start, you're ready, here you go. I think they'll bring him off a bench a couple games and then work him back in.
Yeah, I could see him coming off the bench for a solid like 7 or 8 games before we see him back in the rotation starting-wise.
Yeah, and it's a luxury you have when you have 4 other all-stars in the starting lineup. Breakout player, you know, starter, who you got?
Breakout player.
You know, I think Steph Curry's going to really come onto the map this year. You know, not a lot of people talk about him.
I think I guess I'll pick.
You have to go back to the center position here.
Yeah, I guess it's whoever starts, right? Yeah. So it's either going to be Looney or Jordan Bell. You know, these guys are going to play alongside 4 all-stars, a couple superstars. They'll probably look really good out there with them. So whoever gets the starting nod, that's a breakout player.
Yeah, I think of it like both those guys are my breakout bench player and breakout starter. Like Jordan Bell, I just like love the athleticism, and he keeps adding to his game, and he's just shown some major pop. When he's a restricted free agent, I would not be surprised if someone offers him a big offer sheet and Golden State can't match because they have so much money tied up elsewhere. So I just like really like what I've seen from Bell and just the improvement he even made during the regular season last year. Then Kevon Looney, like we saw some nice things from him in the postseason too, defensively and kind of switching a little bit more. He just seems like he'll be a solid big. I don't think he'll like come onto the map and you'll be like, oh my God, like Kevon Looney. But I think he's a nice solid guy and he'll kind of get some more respect this year. Anybody else you think in breakout?
No, not really, no. I mean, I just don't see anyone playing
It's tough.
Is Quinn Cook still on the roster? I mean, I like Quinn Cook. I think Quinn Cook's solid. I think he proved a lot the end last season when he played for Curry in that stretch.
Yeah, I believe he's still on the roster.
Yeah, he is. I think he could be a pretty big rotational backup point guard, even though I know they love Livingston and he's solid. But if Cook can give you more shooting and spacing on the second unit, I think you're going to want to go with that.
Yeah, and you can play them together because Livingston's so tall, he can defend twos. And Quinn, you know what I mean? And Livingston's a smart player where he'll set screens, you know, cut to the rim. Like, that's one thing I always loved about Livingston. Other than that, there's really just not a whole bunch of breakout options on the team. I thought Quinn Cook's a nice pick, too. And obviously, he has a good relationship with KD. But on to the season prediction. Best case scenario. Give me something hot.
Best case scenario is they go 74-8 and they end up breaking their record from a couple of years ago. And they set a new record, greatest record of all time. Because I think this team has the talent on paper. Do I think they're going to play that hard? No. But I think it's definitely possible.
Yeah, I think best case scenario, like, I think they could do what you said, you know, win 74 games. I think if best case, everything were to, like, click right, DeMarcus Cousins is back, I think 70 wins, because I just don't, even if in, like, a best case world, they've played so many finals in the last 4 years, you know, so many playoff minutes, it just doesn't make sense to go all out during the regular season. And obviously, best case scenario, they win a championship and they sweep everybody in the playoffs and the finals. Worst case.
Worst case would be, I'm going to say 55, 54 wins. So they don't even get 58 wins. They dip to 55 and pretty much they falter when Cousins comes back. They don't have the same kind of chemistry. They're off. They're losing some closer games. They still go into the playoffs as probably a 2 or a 3 seed, and they end up still probably winning a title off enough juice, but they just don't look as dominant in the regular season.
Actually, I have the same number, 55 wins, worst case scenario, which is crazy to talk about. Like, I don't know if anybody's had this high of a worst case scenario. And that's just like they're bored. Like, they're just really not that entertained by the regular season. You know, maybe they'll get up when they play like Houston or Boston, or, you know, maybe just the Lakers to kind of shut up LeBron a little bit. But even in a worst case scenario, I still think that they're probably going to the championship. And even in the worst case, I feel like they're winning the chip in 7 games. Like, I can't convince myself that they would lose unless it were to be, I don't even know. Even if one player were to get injured, I think they'd still be in pretty good shape to win. Maybe Boston would have a good chance. But as long as it's like KD and Curry are playing, they should be in good shape. Actual prediction, though, for the season.
I want to say realistically, worst case scenario is them not winning a title. That's the bottom line worst case scenario, because they don't win a title with this roster. Actual prediction, I think they win this is funny, 70 games, and I think they get the one seed and they go through the playoffs and they win another title.
Yeah, I got like 67 wins. I still think that they are not going to be like super, you know, engaged during the season, but they have so much talent that they'll just win games from being that talented. And I think they'll win a championship. You know, most likely they're going to face like a Boston in the finals, and they'll probably beat them in 5 or 6 games. Any other takes on the season, you know, actual prediction wise, who do you think is going to win some awards?
I think Draymond has a chance to be Defensive Player of the Year.
He ranted about
that. I think Curry, and of course, what?
He ranted about that today. He was, I think, ranting about being in team all defense, saying that there's not 5 better defensive players in the NBA than him.
And of course. Oh, well, good. Maybe, so, hey, he's more motivated. Fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay motivated. Curry and Durant, I think, of course, they'll both be in MVP conversations. I mean, Durant's also talked about defense, so I think he could be like a dark horse, maybe. I don't know, maybe try to get more flashy stats. And then I think Coach of the Year is probably sitting on this team as well.
Yeah, there's a good chance. I mean, they have a lot of players that are going to be in contention. Then you go to All-Star Weekend, there's a good chance Steph or Clay are going to walk away with a 3-point contest too. So it's just like all over the place, there's a possibility for award. It's almost like they're so good that they hurt each other from winning other awards. Like KD and Curry, like they're so good and on the same team. I think it makes people less likely to vote for them. But moving on from season predictions, the truth, what emoji represents the Warriors for you?
For me, it's the trophy. It's the ring. It's anything that symbolizes winning, because the money bag, because this team is the dynasty. So anything that symbolizes winning.
Yeah, I wanted the ring emoji, not because I got engaged, but because, you know, this team is all about rings and winning championships. And like you said, it's just the dynasty is going to continue. Obviously, there's going to be some discussion about keeping together, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But you know, this year it's still going to be, the goal is to win another ring, which they should do. League pass rating, what do you got?
I think, despite it may not be my my actual feeling on the matter, it's a 10. This team with all this talent, they're going to be, they may not play in the fourth quarter much, these superstars, but they'll be winning a ton of games. They'll be playing high quality basketball, scoring a lot of points. I mean, as we mentioned, they got four guys in the OTG top 50 player list in the top 20. This is a team with a ton of talent. And once Cousins comes back, they could be even better. They're a must watch on every night.
Yeah, and Cousins is in the top 50, and he's injured. And that's, you know, he's in the 40 range. So that's just huge. I'm going with a 9.9. I don't think I gave anybody a 10 this year, just because, like, the Warriors, like you said, will have some games that aren't super entertaining. But I think Steph, like, when he goes on, like, those hot stretches for, like, 6 minutes where he's just, like, knocking down threes from all over the court, there's really not many more entertaining things in the NBA than that. Like, it's like, can he really knock the shot down from, like, the scorer's table? And he just does it, and he makes it look easy. I don't know if you saw yesterday, he had like a highlight before the game where it was like one-handed, not even looking at the basket, swoosh.
Yeah, I saw that. He's not real, man. They made him in a laboratory or something.
Like, he must have really good eyesight too or something, because like his precision is just so on point. But what TV show would you watch over the Warriors?
Now, I wasn't sure if I used Ballers yet. I think I did. I'm going to go with Mad Men. I think I did too. I think you might use Mad Men too. You think so?
I think you might have. Now the pressure's on. I do know one thing that you probably have in your bag that you haven't used yet.
What?
You could use the Colts. But are they really worth watching? Because I know they had a bad game last week.
Yeah, did I really use that show? Shit. Well, that just threw a curveball in there.
I'll go with mine, and you give yourself a minute to think. I'm going with my all-time favorite show currently at the moment, and that's Rick and Morty. You know, I watch the show like all the time. If you want a good laugh, something funny, some intelligence funny a little bit too, and there's a good plot to it as well. So Rick and Morty is like my show. I love it. I can't wait for season four.
I got nothing.
Well, if you didn't use Mad Men, I think you might have, but if you didn't, then Mad Men's your choice.
Yeah. Okay, I guess I got one. We use other sporting events, so I got one. I'll just use it.
The Yankees?
So I think for me it'd be Mad Men. If I already used Mad Men, then it'd have to be either a Colts or a Boston Bruins game. I'm actually going to the Colts game against the Jets this Sunday. Ooh. So I get to see them live. But it'd probably be one of those other sporting events.
That should be a good game at least. But going back to the Warriors, just a few questions. Do you think KD leaves the Warriors after the season?
I think he does. I think he gets one more win, and I think it ends up becoming Curry, Draymond, and Cousins. I think that team's going to change a lot. I actually think Klay might leave also.
Yeah. The one thing with Cousins is just going to be hard money-wise, because they won't have any of his like bird rights or anything. So they would have to have the actual cap space. Obviously, if someone leaves like a Klay and a KD, then that's a possibility. But what do you think is more likely to leave, KD or Klay?
I think KD would be more likely to leave.
Yeah.
Only because of his recent comments.
Klay seems like he's really loves the Golden State area, and he just loves the whole vibe of playing with that team.
Yeah, exactly. And then, the relationship between Thompson and Curry as well. You know, those Splash Brothers for a reason. I think Durant, and especially just the comments recently, you know, he's made it known that it just sounds like he wants to play somewhere else, especially how he talked about free agency.
Yeah, no, I definitely could see KD leaving. It just seems like a real possibility. What probability chance do you think is that the Warriors do not win a championship this year, if you had to put a percentage on it?
-0.5%.
Yeah, I think I would maybe put like 1% if it's like injuries. Give me like 3%. I'll do like 1% for injury, 1% for somebody like Houston getting Jimmy Butler, and then maybe 1% for like Boston just really like taking over.
I'll give it the odds to win the lottery. That's what I'll give on them not winning a title.
You heard that, NBA teams. Corey's adding some more fuel to the fire for you. Any other last thoughts on Golden State?
Enjoy history. Enjoy being able to watch one of the greatest teams of all time. I know I hate this team, and I haven't watched much of this team the last several years. I actually plan on watching a lot of this team because you don't see teams like this all the time. Like, these teams really should be appreciated for how great they are.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely catch in, at least for the good games. I know, obviously, you're not going to watch Golden State Atlanta or something like that, but if you're watching, you know, Golden State and Houston, you might get some entertaining basketball. And, you know, as always, Corey, it's been a pleasure doing this NBA Highlight Preview Series with you, you know, second year now. And obviously, you know, shout out to all the guests we had. You know, this is only the second episode we didn't have a guest. We had a lot of amazing guests with a lot of great insight on the show. You know, it's just a real pleasure to, you know, communicate with different people and give you guys the best possible previews.
It was an absolute riot for year two. Can't wait for year three. Hope you guys enjoyed all these episodes. And again, to everyone who hopped on, we appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and be sure to check us out during the regular season. We won't be doing previews until playoff time, but we'll be talking about, you know, all different topics, storylines, who's playing well, who's playing bad, you know, who's going to make the playoffs, who needs to make a trade. So check out the NBL at iTunes, Box Talk Radio, OchiBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. And Corey, big thanks to you for taking the time to record all these with me and putting all the research and time into making this happen. And shout out to everybody who's listened to all the episodes.
Always a pleasure, Nick. Peace out, knuckleheads.